Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University.
Thank you. stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
The Lord is God and has given us light. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Come, let us set out in the light of the Lord. In this Eastertide, we continue to experience the God who made the world and everything in it. The Apostle Paul reminded the Athenians that in God they live and move and have their being. The same is true for us. We are God's offspring. Belonging to God, we then are called to repent, to speak our failures and step away from their burdens. God awaits to offer us the assurance of Easter. Let us open ourselves to this grace by confessing together, saying, Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. People of God, by God's promise and breath, we are refreshed, made to go alongside God and love and live in a way that is true. God has come among us and we are forgiven, ready to go the way of the Spirit. We are not left alone. God abides with us right now in our forgiveness. We glow with God's fire divine, made to go in the light of our Lord. Let us sing now together the hymn, Come Down, O Love Divine, hymn number 241, found at the end of your online worship bulletin.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University. We pray that you are all safe and well. Wherever you are this morning, we are grateful for your presence with us. No matter where you are on your journey, you are very welcome here. As always, if you would like to follow along with the liturgy and the hymns, you can find a bulletin on our website, www.memorialchurch.harvard.edu. You'll also find more information there about our programs and how to access them online. Our first lesson this morning will be read by Angela Eichhorst, class of 2022 and member of the Harvard University Choir. And the second lesson will be read by Alex Grayson, also class of 2022 and co-lead student deacon in the Memorial Church. We are led in worship this morning by the Reverend Wes Kahn, our ministry fellow, and the Reverend Professor Emmanuel Achimpong, Minister of Worship and Formation in the Memorial Church, Ellen Gurney Professor of History, Professor of African and African American Studies, and Oppenheimer Faculty Director of the Harvard University Center for African Studies. The Reverend Alana Sullivan, our Associate Minister and Lead Administrator, serves as our preacher. The organ music today is taken from recordings by Assistant University Organist and Choirmaster David Von Baron. Gund University Organist and Choirmaster Edward Jones leads us in the hymns. Singing along with Ed has been one of the unexpected joys of remote worship for me, and I hope it is for you too. Behind the scenes, Jesus Romoyamas, our events coordinator, and Jeffrey Blackwell, our communications lead, have lovingly pieced our fragments together into the service to which we are now all listening. And Harvard's radio station, WHRB 95.3 FM, broadcasts the service. We are grateful, as always, for their partnership with us. A few announcements. The facilitators for religious, ethical, and spiritual inquiry and the Harvard chaplains are offering a conversation on faith and resilience with President Larry Bacow and Adele Bacow this afternoon from 3 until 4:30 p.m. Information about how to register can be found on our website and in the bulletin. MemCafe will meet for the last time for a while this week on Wednesday from 9:30 to 10:15 a.m. And our virtual church school is also winding down for the term. Next Sunday, May 24th, will be its last meeting of the semester. Harvard will hold an online commencement for the conferring of degrees on Thursday, May 28th. To celebrate, we invite all graduates to send in a photo of yourself by May 19th, and we'll include it in our special graduation slideshow. Please see the bulletin for instructions about where to send your photo. We look forward to seeing all your beautiful faces and to celebrating this great achievement. Next Sunday will also be Senior Sunday and our last service of the spring semester. Ordinarily, we'd be going off the radio until next fall, but WHRB has generously agreed to continue to broadcast our services without interruption. On the three Sundays in between the spring and summer terms, we will broadcast some special services. The first on May 31st, an all-music hour. On June 7th and 14th, we will broadcast a simple service with a greeting, music, scripture, and a sermon from our archive, one by the Reverend Peter J. Gomes and another by Professor Jonathan L. Walton. So please stay with us and enjoy these special offerings, and our regular services will begin again on June 21st. Our daily newsletter on pilgrimage will continue through graduation, so there is still time to sign up on our website and receive in your mailbox each day for 2 more weeks, music on Mondays, meditations by students, faculty, and clergy on Tuesdays and Thursdays, instruction in a spiritual practice on Wednesdays, and the prayers of the community on Fridays. In the portion of Scripture that Angela will read for us today from the Acts of the Apostles, Paul gives a sermon in Athens in which he says that even when our search for God feels like a kind of groping around in the dark, God is never far from us. He quotes a bit of poetry from the Greek tradition in which God is described as encompassing our very existence. In God we live, and move and have our being. That is the place from which we offer one another a sign of peace in this time, even when it feels like we are reaching out for each other across impossible distances. God fills that distance and holds it and amplifies the peace we share. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Our offering supports the work of the Memorial Church Grants Committee, which provides funding to local grassroots organizations that know the needs of their communities and work to meet them. The Grants Committee supports access to healthy food through meal programs and food pantries, access to summer camps for underserved children, access to tutoring for immigrant high school students, and many other programs. You can find a donate button in the top right-hand corner of our homepage. Let us, with gladness, present the offerings of our life and labor to God.
Christ and holy. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, beginning at the 22nd verse. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, To an unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him. Though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said. For we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Here ends the lesson.
Guys!
Reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 14, beginning at the 15th verse. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Here ends the lesson.
Let us pray. In Christ, we have an intercessor who intercedes on our behalf with our Heavenly Father. So we come boldly before the throne of grace of our Creator God to offer these prayers of love on behalf of ourselves and our neighbors, on behalf of your creation and our fellow creatures. The academic year draws to an end. And the class of 2020 graduates this month into a health pandemic and an economic recession. In the past few months, COVID-19 has changed dramatically the entire world, putting millions out of jobs and dimming hopes in the expectant hearts of graduates. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But just as Christ promised his disciples on his resurrection, that he will not leave them orphans, but will send them a helper, I encourage our graduates to keep the faith, for the God we serve is faithful. The coronavirus threatens to exacerbate economic disparities in health outcomes between the global north and the global south. And within countries. In the United States, African Americans, Hispanic Americans, and Native Americans have been disproportionately affected by COVID-19. African Americans represent a third of U.S. deaths from the virus, though constituting only 13% of the American population. As we pray for a world gripped in a pandemic, we lift up minority communities and the poor around the world that are particularly vulnerable. We pray for those with special needs, for whom social distancing has transformed close-knit human networks that bring comfort. Lord God, may your Spirit be the companion of the sick, the lonely, and the vulnerable. We pray for those who have lost loved ones to the coronavirus. May God be their strength and their comfort. St. Francis of Assisi wrote about how God adores his creation, sharing our joys and sorrows. God is never far from us, for in him we live and move and have our being. Next week, most of the U.S. states will begin to open up their economies, concerned by the economic damage COVID-19 has caused. We find ourselves in uncharted waters. We lift up our federal and state governments, praying for divine wisdom in their leadership in these uncertain times. When the world outside appears daunting and intimidating, we are assured that he who lives in us is greater than anything out there in the world. We pray for our health professionals, the doctors, nurses, and first responders. Their dedication, our acts of consideration as we wear our face masks and practice social distancing, and God's goodness assures us that there will be a post-COVID-19 world. It will be a world changed by our awareness that we are each other's keeper. We lift up our eyes to the hills, from whence our help comes, to our Lord God who made heaven and earth. Our God assures us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Comforted by this knowledge, we pray as our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Friends, is there such a thing as a good goodbye or a farewell done well? Partings are tough. There's no way around it. Often we stumble through them or dodge them altogether. Some of us may try the avoidance tactic. We pretend that it's not happening, perhaps saying to ourselves, well, I don't know what to say. Where do I even begin? And then the parting thereby goes unacknowledged, either with our words or in our hearts. Some of us may try to escape the finality of goodbyes by making false promises, such as, I'm sure we'll stay in touch. We'll see each other again. Yet in our heart of hearts, we know that none of this might be true, and we say it anyway. And sometimes we can be so uncomfortable with saying goodbye that we redirect our emotions and divert our attention by getting angry or picking a fight or withdrawing entirely. It's easier to create an excuse than address our underlying grief. And yet, even if we do find the right words, that can be difficult too, because once our parting is acknowledged, our separation can no longer be ignored. In the moments of our parting, we encounter not just the limitations of relationship, but also the limitations of our humanity. We cannot be both here and there. We cannot stop time. We cannot be with all the people we care about. This is a fact that we've all learned too well during this quarantine. In the Bible, however, many of the partings are tender and lingered over. They are marked with an unwavering honesty and without a trace of denial. Our gospel lesson from John for today, read so beautifully by Alex Grayson, is located in the middle of what is commonly called the farewell discourse. Jesus does not slip away in the middle of the night. After the Last Supper, Jesus dwells in the moment with his disciples, after they have finished their meal and he has washed their feet. Judas is gone, and Jesus knows what this means. Others do not. So this is the last opportunity to say what he needs to say. And so the final third of John's Gospel is Jesus saying goodbye to his beloved disciples. True, you might say. Goodbyes might be difficult, and Jesus prioritizes saying farewell when he parts with his disciples. But what relevance does that have for us today? What happens when you can't say goodbye at all? There is a different kind of grief and pain when the opportunity to say goodbye is taken away altogether. Students will not have the chance to celebrate their commencement with their family and friends. Family members have been unable to say goodbye to their dying loved ones. Doctors, nurses, and hospital workers are living away from their own families for the fear of infecting them. Business and restaurant owners are closing up shop and not knowing if they'll ever see their customers again. And people are packing up their offices to work from home without knowing when they'll be able to return, if ever. So how do we part without the familial rituals of saying goodbye? Oh, friends, this is tough. So returning to our gospel lesson for today, Jesus tells the disciples that he will not leave them orphaned, abandoned, or alone. Instead, he'll send them a paraclete. Here is the first time that Jesus introduces the Holy Spirit as the paraclete. Now, what is a paraclete, you might ask? In ancient Greek, parakletos has several overlapping meanings. It can be translated as comforter, advocate, counselor, helper, mediator, even broker. At its most basic meaning, it means the one to come alongside. Jesus tells us that saying goodbye is not the same as ending. I may no longer be physically there, yet I leave you the Holy Spirit to come alongside you, to accompany you, to bear witness to your lives. In life and in death, you are not alone. Now, what does it mean for the Holy Spirit to come alongside? Well, as the diverse translations of paraclete indicate, it depends on the context. Like we cannot quantify God's magnitude or set parameters on Christ's love, we cannot limit the creativity of the Holy Spirit's activity in our lives. In some instances, the Holy Spirit can come alongside us to bring consolation, comfort, or encouragement. A surprise blessing for me in the midst of this tragic pandemic has been the opportunity to worship alongside our far-flung congregation. And my family has stumbled into a new ritual on Sunday mornings. My son, who is almost 2, cannot expend his abundant energy at playgrounds, so we've had to be inventive about finding alternative safe outdoor places where we can bring him to play. My mother-in-law suggested a cemetery could be such a place, and it happens that we live near one. So each Sunday, we bring Henry to a cemetery at the top of a large hill that overlooks the Green Mountains of Vermont. And it has become his favorite place. The gravestones are just the right height for him to hide behind, and there are plenty of pine cones for him to pick up and examine. And there is something hauntingly reassuring about watching this little boy dance among the tombstones of those long deceased, while I listen to the choir sing transcendent music alongside you. Although we are physically alone on that hill, somehow the Holy Spirit makes me feel so connected with the past, future, and present, all in the same moment. This ritual helps anchor me when I so often feel cast at sea during this disorienting time. It is an unexpected way in which the Spirit has come alongside me. In other instances, the Holy Spirit as paraclete can be translated as the one who advocates for you. The Gospel of John was written in an age of empire and imposed domination. The ministry and life of Jesus offers a striking claim against the order of the day. It was not about blame or shame, or instilling fear or demanding silence. It was not about the preservation of self or holding others captive. His life and ministry challenged the assumption that power came from control over others. Jesus embodied the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself by feeding the hungry, healing the sick, speaking and acting towards others with tenderness and mercy. And the love which Jesus embodied was about caregiving. And it was also about accountability and justice. For he also turned over the tables of the money changers in the temple, and he fiercely protested against those who shortchanged the value of each life. So when Jesus introduces the Holy Spirit in our passage today, he says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever." Another advocate, implying that Jesus is the first and the Holy Spirit is the second. The Holy Spirit follows the lead of Jesus. Therefore, the activity of the Holy Spirit derives itself from the example of Jesus's life and ministry. A wise person once said that the Spirit of God is the one who comes up through us. And in this way, we become the channel through which the Holy Spirit advocates and mediates for those who are neglected, isolated, forgotten, or disregarded. Writer Elizabeth Gilbert describes how an ancient culture in northern Africa used to celebrate when they witnessed God during a ceremonial ritual. There would be a moment when a dancer became lit from within. The crowd would catch a glimpse of the Holy shining through, and they would shout, "Allah, Allah, Allah, God, God, God." And when the Moors brought this ritual to Spain, "Allah, Allah, Allah" evolved into "Olé, Olé, Olé," which is still shouted at bullfights and flamenco dances. The shouting of "Allah, Allah, Allah" is a recognition that God's Spirit is not just the inspiration for the dance, but God is the dance. The dancer is a channel through which the Spirit performs. Preacher and professor Carolyn Lewis shares that accompaniment is not simply having someone beside you. Accompaniment means active and assertive abiding, an abiding that enters into places of fear and discomfort, uncertainty, and troubled hearts, and speaks truth freely. The notion of accompaniment here is creative and energetic. It reminds me of the accompanist who used to play the piano during my childhood ballet classes. She would set the tempo to which we all danced. What if the Holy Spirit accompanies us with music through life so that we can dance the dance? It's easy to imagine Jesus being devastated about leaving his friends. That is probably one reason he lingered over the goodbyes. He did not like goodbyes any more than we do. And I also imagine that he was comforted by the understanding that he would not be leaving them alone. Even when Jesus could not be at their side, there is another who would come to their side to comfort, advocate, and accompany as he had. The Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus, would go to his beloved ones and draw them close at their point of greatest need. And friends, the good news is that this same Spirit comes alongside us as well, at a time when we cannot be with one another, which is to say, at a time when we may need the Spirit the most. Amen.
What thou dost love. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will one will to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am whole. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I never die, but live with thee the perfect life of thine eternity.
So, friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord grant you peace. And the gathered people said, Amen.
Thank you.
This has been Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University. Please join us again next week at 11 a.m. on WHRB 95.3 FM.